Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
We'll explore how corn, soybean, and wheat producers should go about pricing new crop inventories today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with the folks that are here in studio with us for the whole half hour. Our panelists include Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services of Bloomington, Illinois. Let's open today's discussion with this question. I'm a producer, and I'm happy with my old crop corn sales. I managed to make some close to the summer highs, picked up 40 cents from the LDP. The countercyclical payment came in, and while I have some old crop to move, I'm really trying to decide just what to do with new crop corn sales, which, by the way, I haven't made any yet. I'm thinking about sitting tight, at least until the earliest part of the planting season. Is that okay with you, Mike Zuzulo?
Well, we'd probably double-check some of the numbers on that. We're zero unpriced. We have everything priced on 05 corn and beans at this point. We did that the week prior to the report. Before the report, we were around 20 to 30% in new crop, 06 corn and beans both. Most of those cash-related sales, HTA cash sales, and we had the calls bought at earlier price levels for both the corn and the beans. And so everything we've sold before the report were with calls underneath us because they were cash related. Since the report, we want to move producers to 100% of insured bushels on soybeans. And we want to do that in a variety of ways. We don't mind doing some cash, but we have to be careful not to overdo the cash side, Todd, in case we have aphids, in case we have rust, and you can't deliver cash bushels to the elevator. So even with good crop insurance policy, which that'll help, you really don't want to get stuck having to write a check to the elevator if you have a significant crop problem. And so we want to work into some bought puts, especially after you go over 40 or 50% hedged in insured bushels. So we've had to go insured bushels on beans just because of how early it is in the year. But we're doing 100% insured bushels on 06 beans. We've got 20 to 30% done in 06 corn right now. If we get to 265, we want to do a little bit more, maybe 10%. If we get to 280, we want to be 100% sold in 06 corn. Zero 07 sales and zero 08 sales.
And then, Kurt Kimmel, if I'm sitting unpriced completely on my corn, what do you tell me to do?
Well, it depends on your comfort zone. It's hard to make a recommendation that fits everybody because everybody's different. You know, some guys own ground, some rent, on-farm storage, off-farm storage. But as a general practice, I think it's prudent to go ahead and be 20 to 30% sold in the cash market right through here prior to March 15th and get your foot in the door and go from there. But like Mike said, if you've got some revenue policies or some insurance policies, that gives you the flexibility to go higher on these new crop sales. What we would probably do on the balance is buy some put options to put a floor on you. That leaves your upside open. So if we do get in that drought or aphids or rust fear, you still got the cash to market yet.
And Dan Zwicker.
I'm in the 20% camp. Could probably talk me into moving the scale up a little bit to maybe 30 or 35%. The stuff that that we look at is what just about anybody can look at is average price seasonal studies. Pretty well tell you that between now and the first part of April, you have a pretty good chance of putting in the corn high, so you kind of want to use scale-up strategies or space-type strategies between now and April and corn. The soybean studies kind of say that you can maybe go till May 1. But just like with any seasonal study, is very often and about when you get ready to follow a seasonal pattern, the market decides to go counter-seasonal. Beans, I think, are vulnerable to a counter-seasonal pattern. And a counter-seasonal pattern in beans at this point would be a decline into a late April, early May low. And, of course, when you look at the fundamentals, a lot of that probably depends upon how that South American crop comes in. But at least the fundamentals are set up for beans to maybe have a counter-seasonal decline. So that's what we've been a little concerned with. And probably, like I said, if anything, beans probably have the biggest risk of a counter-seasonal decline because of the expectations of maybe a couple million acres. So probably there's where you could probably get a little aggressive, and therefore, you know, I'd be in agreement with pretty much what both Kurt and Mike has said. So, corn, you know, is probably a little more seasonal in nature simply because we're looking at reduced acres and we got a pretty good demand base underneath us.
On the soy complex side of this, do you think if you get a counter-seasonal trend and it's going lower, will it take over the lead of the marketplace? And I'm thinking lead meaning that corn and wheat just sort of stay where they are and beans begin to trade lower?
Well, that's the big question among us guys that try to figure out which way prices are going to go. Beans could get very, very heavy. There's just no doubt about it when you look at the balance sheets. How heavy, that's debatable, whether or not they're going to be heavy enough to pull corn and wheat down with it. I don't think things can get that heavy because we are working a little different set of fundamental numbers. But even though the corn number shows some tightening and possibilities here and there, we still got a pretty heavy balance sheet on corn, too, at 2.4 billion bushels. And we got to keep in mind, and this is what gets everybody kind of confused, I think, a little bit, is that we could come in here and crop prospects could maybe be only 9 billion bushels. But with the carry-in that we're expected to do, we're not going to run out of corn in October or November. If the market has to ration, it may wait all the way to the next spring. So you got to be a little worried about, you know, working too small a crop or the potential of working too small a crop too early.
How small do you think the crop is in the eyes of the trade and what it's priced out at for corn right now?
For 06 or 06 corn, we would probably suspect that because the trade says in their minds we have to have a 10.8 billion bushel demand, and last week's report kind of confirmed that we had a decrease on that carryover because of increased domestic usage. And everybody knows in Chicago ethanol plants are going up all over the place, especially in the eastern Corn Belt. So if you're talking about a 11 billion bushel demand base, we would suspect that the trade needs and thinks they need at least 80 million planted acres, so and a 144 yield. So you need to counter, you almost have to have the exact same crop or close to it that you had this past year to, you know, make everybody at a comfort level. But that's an interesting thing to think about, because one thing the report we thought did for us was the trade would be the mindset, do we really need a lot of bean acres? Can we really try and tweak the corn acres higher by changing and messing around with the DS06 corn price and the NOVO6 bean price before the farmers actually plant? And last time Dan and I were on the same show, last time we were together, we were saying the exact same thing as far as it really is up to the weatherman what we actually get planted. But what Chicago does between now and May could be pretty interesting based upon this report.
So would you be of the mindset that corn could rally while beans move lower?
If we continue wheat higher, yes. But I think the three things that came out to us in the report was, and this is for beans, corn, or wheat, but even with the funds in today's environment, we still say demand puts lows in the markets. And if USDA takes demand down in beans twice in 2 months, then the lows are not in soybeans. Number two, we would say that you have a very good chance of LDP this coming fall in soybeans. And number three, we'd say the higher you go now in soybeans, the lower you can go later on, like Dan was talking about with the counter-seasonal. But yes, corn, obviously by saying we want to be done at 280 in D's corn, we think there's a chance to get there, but we think that's going to be on the heart of the wheat rally.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they came across from the Chicago Board of Trade. We'll go through the grains. A March contract in the corn pit had a high this week of 227.5. Their low at 216. Settlement price down 4 cents from last Friday at 221.25. The December contract at 257.25, down 2.75. Wheat futures, the March contract, 365 on the high, the low at 348. March wheat settled at 355.25. They are off 1.25 from last week. The July at 376 were down 2. Soy complex, March beans, 604 and a half on the high, the low at 571. Settlement price here at 582 and a quarter. They were off 12 and a half. November beans at 618 and three quarters were down 11 and three quarters this week. And the March oats at 191 and a half were down 10 and a half cents. The numbers on Thursday from the WASDE report, the World Agricultural and Supply and Demand Estimates, as we heard already, showed a 25 million bushel drop in the corn to 2.401 billion. All of that put into ethanol production. Beans at 550 million bushels were raised at 50 million bushels in terms of carryover. What did you make of those, and what are your expectations for the bean market in particular?
Well, it's just confirmation that we've got much larger supplies than we've been accustomed to, and it's going to take a while to eat through it. But the main thing to keep in mind with these big estimates, you carry that into the 06 supply-demand balance sheet, we're going to be looking at a possibility of seeing bean carry out approaching 800, even maybe 900 million bushels. So there's quite a bit of supply to eat through. But one thing is, I don't know if you necessarily want to get hung up on acreage a whole lot. I mean, it does make an effect on the market, but what moves the bottom line on the supply-demand balance sheet more than anything is yield. So weather's going to be the topic, because if you move the supply-demand balance sheet on corn 10 bushels to the acre, that's huge. 5 bushels an acre on beans, that's going to be the factor as we go into the growing season.
You know, Mike, you mentioned the possibility of LDP in the fall. Anybody else think that's a possibility for soybeans? A good possibility? Yes? No?
Oh, I've been around Marcus long enough to know anything's possible. yeah, when you look at supply-demand numbers, the only thing, that, you know, we just, you know, this week we did Farm Week, and I said, you know, basically the only reason to be friendly soybeans is things look so bleak, I don't know how they could get any worse. A couple things that the rally in corn and wheat, and maybe the drier pattern that's moving north. If you look at subsoil moistures and topsoil moistures, you can really see a difference of what's happened on soil conditions from the fall to where we're at right now. So the dryness pattern is getting larger. Maybe we end up reducing bean acres from current expectations. So you just don't know what can happen. I think there's a lot of twists and turns yet to go in this market, and it's going to be a real challenge get our crop protected.
Well, I remember the early 70s, Barry, as I helped put beans up in the crib in the bin up there, and beans like $8 that fall, and I go, what are we putting in the crib for? Well, I was told, well, we sold for January delivery. Okay, that made sense. Well, what'd you sell them for? $5. I go, what'd you sell them for $5 for? Well, that's the highest price we've ever seen for beans. Well, the moral of the story is we had carryouts very low. In fact, in the early 70s, we doubled, tripled carryout from what we're accustomed to, but yet beans went sky high. So I might be a little cautious that we might be going to that new plateau.
We'll take a minute break or so, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with our panelists right here, Kurt Kimmel, Dan Zwicker, and Mike Zuzulo.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The first full week of February was colder than it has been in a month, but temperatures still managed to average above normal across most of Illinois. Temperatures ranged from near normal in southern Illinois to 6 degrees above normal in far northern Illinois this week. Cooler air arrived in Illinois early in the week, but temperatures quickly moderated. Overnight lows tumbled into the teens across much of the state, but afternoon temperatures still rose well into the 30s and low 40s, several degrees above normal for this time in February. Most of the state was dry this week, but parts of Illinois did have to cope with some winter weather. A small clipper system laid down a relatively narrow band of snow from Iowa through southwestern and southern Illinois on Wednesday. Snow amounts reached 2 to 3 inches in places, but temperatures above freezing and sunshine on Thursday helped melt much of the snow. After a chilly but seasonable weekend, temperatures will begin to moderate next week ahead of a system developing in the southern plains. A cold front will likely push through late Wednesday or Thursday, setting the stage for some much colder weather by next weekend, along with the possibility of some snow. However, it's still early, and that scenario could change over the next few days. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu. Click on AM and then on Agriculture.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today are Mike Zuzulo, Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois, and Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. I've got to ask, what does everybody think the most interesting thing that came out of the numbers from WASDE this week or anything else that happened in the trade might have been? We'll start with you, Dan.
I was probably more surprised by, like everybody, how well the bean market took the 50 million bushel increase. Now, the 50 million bushel increase in carryout was not a surprise. I mean, anybody that's been following export sales pace knew that that was going to have to come up at some point in time, and there's probably maybe room to find another 50 out of that export picture. But it was interesting that the market didn't even bother opening lower. Now, I was out on the road, so I don't think it opened lower, but maybe these guys here was there watching. But I think it was up 15 cents fairly quickly after the open. So, I mean, that kind of tells you to me that there might be some other influences going on in the bean market that the market's really not talking about.
Yeah, he hit it, I think. You know, we talked about it in the office, and I remember Kurt talking about it a week or two ago. Maybe it's been longer than that, but this wheat market really has taken on a different life and a different look to it in the last couple of weeks, and the report this past week kind of solidified that traders are really looking at wheat to do something that maybe we haven't done in 10 years. Whether we do it or not is another situation, but I think it goes back to in the earlier segment when we were all talking. I thought, this is where the risk management principles come in. This is where your hedging principles, this is where the use of options come into play at these price levels, because you really are sitting with a $6 cash bean price level out there for fall and better than that for Jan 07. And when you have a record U.S. ending stocks figure, if we sat here and said, oh, it's not that bad, don't sell anything, what kind of a job would we be doing when we have these tools at the Board of Trade to be utilizing? And so we can design, like Kurt said, a strategy on reports like this, that if you go higher, you can incorporate some of that profitability. If you go lower, you can incorporate LDP, and you can still come out with a good rounded average price when it's all said and done.
So if you all three were going to ask each other a question about the marketplace and designing something to protect your producer, what would you ask? What would you chat about?
I guess my biggest problem right now is, how in the heck do you hedge beans, no matter how vehemently we believe that beans are overvalued, as we would classify them? The puts out there, they'll do a good job if you have big breaks, but they're not the best thing out there. And so I guess my mindset would be, can you take the risk of selling calls? Can you take the risk of selling futures? You know, how would you do it other than buying puts right now?
What do you do with? Well, I'm thinking crop insurance, but maybe somebody else has got another answer.
Well, on the beans, we're trying to get the strategy work. It's tough, like Mike said. Volatility's crept up on us. It's tough, but I would push, get the beans sold, cash beans. Push her up to 75-100% sold and defend the $7 level with the calls. That way you've got $6 in the bank, market takes off and goes sky high if these funds are on board. You got to remember, if this thing takes off, it's going to be fund driven, and the board's going to be the leader. You're going to see beans up 30 cents, you're going to call the elevator, and they're only going to be 5 cents higher at the elevator. They're going to widen the basis out on you. As Mike alluded there, I think you use the marketing, transfer the risk to somebody else, and sleep at night. Put those on, say, come hurt me, baby.
Well, I think you got to do a mixture of things. I mean, not necessarily put all your eggs in one particular strategy. I think there's a mixture of things. And, you know, we did the fellas talked about, you know, insured bushels. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the crop insurance policies have kind of come to the forefront here, is to try to help farmers get over that emotional hurdle to try to sell some of this stuff early, because just about every seasonal study you look at will tell you that you kind of got to get it sold before planting. If you wait till planting, a lot of your pricing opportunities disappear. But we all know that averages are averages, and you get lost and you get hurt using averages. But I think this is where a lot of this farmer marketing, we're going to come up with a whole bunch of little different derivatives of futures and options in that. And Kurt and Mike's going to be able to use those. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways of moving into this marketplace. Other than just buying flat puts or flat calls and cash forward contracts. But I think individual farmers are going to have to sit down with their advisor, whoever that may be, and devise a particular plan for them so they can kind of condition themselves mentally for, you know, what so they know how they're covered if the market goes against them and what they need to do if that market does go against them.
Kurt, I think it's you who says you work on dollars per acre, not on cents per bushel. Does everybody else agree with that? You're looking at dollars per acre on profit as and margin as opposed to work in yield and
that would be a good way to get farmers to market their grain. It's real hard to because we're still in that mindset of per bushel. But I think you're starting to see movement in that direction of looking at mostly gross dollars. I think the crop insurance policies have kind of pushed us in that direction a little bit to kind of have a little because at the end of the day, it is dollars gross per acre. It's not necessarily that price. So I think looking at a marketing plan, looking at gross dollars or type thing is probably a good start, but that's a transition.
Just a little example between cents and dollars. For example, there's 50 cents risk to the downside in corn futures from here between next fall. 50 cents doesn't sound like a whole lot, but if you multiply that towards 170 bushels to the acre, that equals $85 to the acre downside risk. Now, $85 an acre, well, that's serious money, and you wonder how these guys pay this big cash rent. Well, that's what your risk is.
And finally, a final word from each of you, and we'll start with you, Mike Zuzulo.
Well, I think the best thing after listening to all these good comments is one of the things that made us feel better about going ahead and moving ahead on bean hedges was if beans can keep going higher this next 60 days, we should be able to really outperform in the Dease corn market and be able to make up a lot better hedging price in Dease corn than maybe we really anticipated getting.
Well, the volatility is going to be high. It's going to be noisy. And I think the bottom line is have some type of plan and stick it, maybe do a variety of things like Dan mentioned, but also maybe include WILL in your marketing plan, help them stay in business.
And Dan Zwicker?
Each year we have something that has a tendency to get us off focus, and I think, of course, you can see what the news has been the last couple months here is index fund prospects of them buying, but I do think farmers are going to have to become more active in their marketing, and that means they're going to have to take several different moves throughout the year to kind of protect their inventory rather than just one or two type moves.
Our thanks to Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, and Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can always access Commodity Week right there on our website. The address is will.uiuc.edu. Just click on AM and then, of course, agriculture.